The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
I'm hoping the Big Ten has to modify their system for us.
It's probably like getting grade 10 sandpaper rubbed on your face every day.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds. You're a sinker or you're a floater, but you're still a turd, right? I mean,
we are about players and players playing the plays and not necessarily the plays.
Welcome to the Varsity Club Podcast. Feels good to say that again. My name is Derek Peterson. I've been gone for a hot minute. It's been about a month since I last had this podcast. And I just need to give you guys a little update on what happened. So I have agreed, and Hail Varsity has allowed me to come back for another year. This podcast will continue. There was a brief little period where I wasn't podcasting, where we were trying to work out kind of what was going on moving forward. I'm happy to say that they have allowed me to stay in this podcast space. So shouts to Hail Varsity for that. Subscribe to Hail Varsity. Go to hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Listen to all the other Hail Varsity podcast offerings. They're all excellent. And they all had episodes over the last month, whereas my feed was dormant. But I'm really excited to be back in this space, really excited to be back on this feed. I'm not going to talk about what I'm doing now. You can go find me on Twitter and look at that if you want to. Now is time to talk about the Super Bowl, and more specifically, Zach Taylor and the Cincinnati Bengals in the Super Bowl. That's this weekend. It should be awesome. And so to do that, I have on, he was not Zach Taylor's teammate. I'm going to say Zach Taylor was his teammate. Jay Moore, former Husker. Jay, welcome to the podcast. It's been a long time since I've talked to you, man. How are you?
Yeah. I'm well. Yeah, it's been a minute. Yeah, I like that. I Zach Taylor was my teammate, right? That sounds way better than I was Zach Taylor's teammate. That's why I tell everyone I was Zach was my teammate. You know, I was teammates with Zach.
There you go.
For 2005 and 2006 down here in Lincoln.
Yeah. So I have to ask you first, where do your NFL allegiances lie?
That's a really good question. I don't have, you know, a favorite team per se. Like, just don't, to be honest, like, I don't watch a ton of NFL football. I am definitely more of a college football fan, but okay. My allegiances will say, like, I do pay attention to the 49ers, because that was who drafted me in the fourth round in 2007, and I spent 3 years out there. Mm-hmm. So I do pay attention to those guys. There are a couple guys that are, you know, I think still with, not players on the team, but, you know, guys on the training staff that are really good dudes that I spent a lot of time with, because I was hurt for like 3 years straight out there. So right. I got to know the training staff really well. And that's not what you want to do when you're a player in the NFL, is get to know the training staff really well. But yeah, I follow them. And obviously ever since Zach has taken over at Cincinnati, you know, I actually own Bengals merchandise. I actually own some hoodies and t-shirts, I will say. Now, I'm going to have to get on him that I shouldn't have to be paying for this merchandise. I should, you know, I need to receive a care package from the Bengals equipment staff with some Bengals gear. But I'll be sure to bug him here maybe a couple of weeks. And then hopefully maybe then I can get some Bengals Super Bowl champion t-shirts. That sounds even better.
Well, let's just spend the next 30 minutes on this podcast saying super nice things about Zach Taylor and the Cincinnati Bengals, and then you can send this to him, and maybe that can be your hey, here, I'm doing publicity for you. Right. Okay, so I'm glad you didn't say the Kansas City Chiefs, because I know that being where everyone is in Nebraska, like, Kansas City is a likely team to kind of latch onto. So I am kind of happy, because I'm a Chargers guy. I am kind of happy that we have some new blood in the Super Bowl, that we don't have Kansas City, Tampa Bay. Tom Brady is not around anymore. Do you feel the same way? Are you happy to see new teams in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's, the Chiefs are really good. I mean, honestly, I was really hoping for 49ers, Bengals, you know, Super Bowl. As a kid, you know, I remember those, you know, what is it, early 80s to mid 80s, early 90s. I think the, 49ers and Bengals matched up a couple times. And then obviously, like I said, if I have any allegiance, it's to the 49ers. Mm-hmm. A little bit. So it'd been fun to see them. Yeah, I think anytime you get some new blood, I mean, it's always, it just seems like it's Tom Brady and the Patriots or Tom Brady in Tampa Bay or Kansas City, you know, they've made the AFC Championship, you know, the last, 4 years and the past two Super Bowls. So, yep. Yeah, definitely excited for some new blood, you know, and it's pretty exciting that, you know, Zach was part of Sean McVay's staff. You know, last time they played in the Super Bowl, and I think it was 13-10 or 16-13 Super Bowl, and they played the Patriots. So it's kind of cool that, you know, Zach came from the McVay, I guess you want to, you know, quote it, the coaching tree per se. So, yeah, it's fun, you know, and it has kind of a cool element. I mean, when was the last time you had back-to-back Super Bowls where the stadium is – part of the home team's stadium, you know, or, you know, so that's pretty cool to see that, you know, the Buccaneers won it last year in Tampa Bay, and now LA is going to play in their home stadium now, but I don't hope that LA wins. I hope the Bengals win now.
Yeah. For us, college football leaning football fans, I feel like we're living vicariously through the NFL right now because we have to deal with Alabama and Georgia in the playoffs every single season and Clemson and Oklahoma to a lesser degree. So now we get some new blood. Now we can go into the next few months and spring ball and spring practice and things like that with renewed optimism that we're not going to get the same Alabama Georgia teams in the national championship next season, even though that's probably like the likely scenario, most likely scenario. Let's just jump in. You've been around Zach Taylor, or I should say he's been around you, former Nebraska quarterback, played with you, current Cincinnati Bengals head coach. Does it surprise you that he has his team in the Super Bowl in his third year? He was 2-14 in year one, 4-11 in year two. Now they're 10-7. They beat the number one. They beat the number two. To call it like a Cinderella, there's an element of a little bit of like, well, this was somewhat fluky, which maybe doesn't. I mean, maybe some people feel that this run the Bengals are on is fluky, but it kind of illegitimizes mm-hmm. what they've done. Does it surprise you that Zach Taylor has this team in the Super Bowl?
No, not one bit. Zach, he comes from a football family, a football background. You know, his dad Sherwood played at Oklahoma, coached for a little while at Kansas State, you know, and kind of shut it down once the kids got older. And so I got to know, you know, the Taylor family really well. I mean, Zach and I we lived together our senior year. So got to know the Taylor family really well. And why I say it not is because he comes from a phenomenal family. I know his younger brother, Press was coaching. I know he was with the Eagles at one time. I think he was with the Eagles and they won a Super Bowl. I don't know who he's with now. I know that world changes, you know, a lot because you kind of get tied to a coach or a coordinator. And if they get bounced out of there, then usually you're kind of following him around, you know, or vice versa. So, Zach is one of the best human beings you'll ever meet and be a part of. You know, he's definitely a family first. You know, his wife Sarah is awesome. He has four, you know, wonderful kids. You know, and that's what's most important to him. And I think, you know, the handful of years that I spent, you know, in the NFL, and it's a crazy business, right? It's cutthroat. It's very black and white, and a lot of times coaches are in certain positions. Without a doubt, it's not about what you know, it's who you know, I think, in the coaching business. And I think that can bring out some bad coaching, some just guys just become petty and the coaches just aren't good people. And they're, you know, they're not necessarily in it for the right reasons. And they view players as so, I mean, you're just an object to them. And it's like, okay, how are you going to help me get to a Super Bowl, vice versa? But I just don't feel like there is always an element of that with NFL because you're only allowed to have 53 guys on a roster. You know, you're only allowed to suit up 46 guys on game day. So there is, you know, an element of you have to get the best guys. And I totally get that. But I feel like Zach takes a different, you know, angle to that. I just think that from his background, from him being around really good, from him just being a good person and just being around a lot of other good coaches. I mean, his father-in-law, Mike Sherman, you know, was the former head coach of the Green Bay Packers. And then that's how Zach kind of got his foot into coaching when he stepped on his staff at A&M when it was a GA then, and moved up really quickly to, I think he was a tight ends coach, or maybe even a QB coach. Cause I know, Tannehill, they have a really good relationship with Tannehill when he was at A&M, you know, then he goes to the Dolphins, I believe as a wide receiver coach. And then he joined Sean McVay's staff. You know, and then just a few years ago, Sean McVay was the hottest thing smoking, you know, in the coaching world. And, you know, teams are going to get him out of L.A., but, you know, okay, who can we get, you know, from his tree? And then and Zach was one of the guys. And, you know, I've kept in close contact with Zach. I mean, I talked to him probably more since he was the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals than previous years. I mean, he called me one afternoon. We spoke for probably 30 minutes. He was driving from Cincinnati to Nashville to interview a defensive line coach. You know, it's just, that's just incredible. The kind of guy he is. Yeah. That's the kind of guy he is, you know? So I think he's just a good person. I think that's what brings it out. I just think there's not a lot of good people in NFL. I just don't, I just think, and you're kind of bred that way too. You have to kind of have this nasty, selfish mindset, whether as a coach or a player in the NFL, because it is a business and you have to look out for yourself. But I don't think Zach, he has a little bit of that, but I think he has a good heart. I think that takes you a ways. And I, you know, if you want to call it luck or karma or whatever, let's be honest, I think he'll get the bounces because he does things the right way. He treats people the right way. And he's just a good person. And I think that helps. And it doesn't hurt that he has one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He has arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL, you know, and he's got just good pieces. And I think he has guys on his team and he drafts that fit his mentality. Zach is not a very look at me, you know, I'm gonna be, you know, wearing, you know, I'm rocking this. I got these, you know, I got the Lululemon, I got the Louis Vuitton, I got the Gucci, all this stuff. And he's not that guy. He's not flashy. He goes to work. You know, Zach's the kind of guy that's, you know, probably wearing issued, you know, shoes and stuff. He gets them. He's just not a super fancy guy. And I think he has guys that, or he's drafting guys and getting guys free agency that are in the same kind of circumstances as he is. He wants guys that are just hard workers. It's not about them. Let's just go to work and make this team better. And I think that's hard to come by in NFL these days. So I think he just has the right mindset and just comes from the right background of people. It's all of that, man. There's a lot to it, but I think first and foremost, he's just one of the best guys you'll ever meet. I think that will take him a long ways in this career.
It seems like with most quarterbacks, for the quarterbacks that played at like high major college football teams, the stereotype is just, oh, well, he was a quarterback, so he'll be a good coach when he's done. It's like, it's the field vision aspect, the fact that, you know, he has to understand the jobs of everyone on the field to operate efficiently. It kind of sounds like you felt that way with Zach. Like, was he one of those guys that when he was at Nebraska, everyone was like, oh yeah, like he won't just be a coach when he's done, but he'll be a good coach.
You know? Yeah. We never like talked about coaching, you know, to be honest. I thought, you know, Zach was good enough. I mean, he was Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year our senior year. And I thought, you know, he went to the combine, he went undrafted. I think he went to an OTA or a rookie mini camp with Tampa Bay. And, you know, I think he kind of realized this is not what I want to do. I think he realized Zach loved the game of football, but I don't know if he necessarily loved playing the game of football. So I think he knew he wanted to be part of his life. Because as football players, you know, that's kind of all you know. And So a lot of guys who play the game get into coaching because that's kind of the only thing you know. Mm-hmm. So, to be honest, we never had the conversations like, I'm going to get into coaching. I thought Zach was honestly good enough to play football in the NFL. I mean, he had a decent arm, you know, wasn't the most mobile, but I'm like, he could go to some of these NFL teams, I mean, and play. And maybe not be a starter, but be a backup if he really wanted to and make a decent career. But that obviously wasn't what Zach wanted to do, and that's totally fine. So, you know, he's just, you know, for him to come in and pick up and understand Bill Callahan's West Coast offense, you know, coming from a JUCO in at Wake Forest previously, I mean, it's like learning Mandarin Chinese, which, you know, it's hard. And to be able to articulate the offense, you know, it's almost like a paragraph, you know, a play will, you know, you're calling out 2 to 3 plays at a time. You got to get protections. You got to understand defensive fronts. You got to understand coverages. So it's a lot. And it's no surprise when you got to understand all that. And coming from a system like Bill Callahan, I think, you know, there's such a negative connotation with Bill Callahan, that name's brought up around here, but like people underestimated how smart of a football coach he is and how good of a football coach he is, and just didn't work out here, you know. And I think that helped Zach understand the offensive side of football. But when you're a quarterback in offense, you really got to understand defense as well. So you know, he's able to use that and to his strengths. And he's just smart. He's smart. He's level-headed. He doesn't get, you know, he doesn't get focused on the wrong stuff. You know, it's how can I make so-and-so better? He's always the first one. When he makes a mistake, it's his fault, even though it might not have been, you know. So that's the type of guys that, you know, make great coaches. And obviously no surprise that, you know, he's coaching in the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Sometimes, you know, when a former quarterback becomes a head coach, there's, or an offensive coordinator to a degree, there can be a sense of like, well, I did it this way, so this is the way I want my guys to do it. Or I did it this way, so like, this is the way it should be done. Like when you watch the Bengals play, like, do you see some of the same traits when you're watching Joe Burrow that like, does he give you, like, does he do anything that like reminds you like, oh, like Zach was that way? Not necessarily in like, you know, mechanic things or things like that, but some of intangibles, maybe, you know, the way he reacts to teammates, the way he, you know, carries himself in huddles, things like that. Do you see some of those same things, or do you see just Zach like with this guy letting him be himself?
Yeah, I can't say I see a ton. I mean, Joe Burrow has a lot more swag than Zach Taylor ever has. I have no problem saying that.
Joe Burrow has more swag than anyone will ever have.
Right. So I have no problem. I have no problem saying that. But he, you know, I think what Joe has in the confidence, just the calm kind of confidence, I think Zach helps him, you know, a little bit. But I think Zach lets his guys be his guys. But I think the best thing when you watch his teams play is they just adjust so well, whether it's offensively or defensively. I mean, it's no lie that the Bengals offensive line is not great, right? I mean, Burrow got sacked 9 times against Tennessee. He was harassed early in Kansas City, but they make adjustments to able to make the games work, you know, their plays work and their system work. And that's whether it's, you know, using bootlegs, get them out of the pocket, to, you know, whether it's, you know, calling a bunch of screens to slow down the defensive line. But I think that's the best thing whether it's Zach or Brian Callahan, who is Bill's, you know, son, or the defensive coordinator, you know, whoever it may be, Troy Walters is on the staff as well, is the ability to change. And sometimes you get, as a coach, you're like, all right, you have your game plan and you feel very proud about your game plan. You work very hard and you're like, man, okay, this isn't working. And sometimes, you know, it's like, no, we're going to stick with the game plan. But I feel like they do a really good job of adapting and changing things on the run. I mean, that second half, the change they made in the second half against the Chiefs, I mean, I think everybody in the world thought this thing was over, But as soon as, you know, as they shut down the Chiefs, they don't get any points for halftime. Like, man, this thing just, this momentum completely switched. And then, you know, how many, I don't have the stats in front of me. I can't imagine that this has to be the first time in the Patrick Mahomes era that I think they ever held the 3 points in the second half, you know, and that's a testament to his defense and letting his coaches, you know, do those things and make those necessary changes. And then they made some great changes on offense to capitalize, you know, on some of the mistakes that the Chiefs made and to get the offense going. So I think that's just what Zach does well is, you know, he lets his coaches do their thing, you know, and say, hey, if this isn't working, let's scrap it. Let's change it. Let's, you know, and that doesn't, that's, like I said, that business where the, you know, that in the National Football League, there's a ton of egos. And sometimes, you know, the coaches think that they have the best game plan and they may have had the best game plan put together, you know, Monday through Saturday, but sometimes things change and having the ability to change and the fly, that's what makes the good ones even better. So I think Zach just has a great understanding of all that, how it works. And so I think that's the biggest thing that I think you see on his team is he lets his guys play, but he also lets his coaches do their thing and get in there and make necessary and allow them to make necessary changes too, to get the ultimate goal. And that's to win, you know, and that's you know, and sometimes, like I said, in the business of the NFL, you know, sometimes I think winning it gets, obviously it's the most important thing, but like I said, the egos and sometimes guys, you know, have a different end game in sight than what, you know, the rest of the coaching staff might have. Because like, hey, I want to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos this next year. So I'm going to do this to make it look like, you know, I'm worthy of this position to John Elway or whoever the general manager is in Denver. But I just, yeah, he just does a good job of surrounding himself with the right people too. So that's just, you know, years of being in the business and being in the coaching business to learn. That's what, you know, that's probably most important is just surrounding yourself with the right people.
Yeah. I mean, he's got Joe Burrow and he's got Ja'Marr Chase. So obviously, you know, as long as those guys stay healthy and stay around, like they're going to be successful going forward, but it, you know, like two pretty good indicators of their ability to Zach's ability to have sustained success. There is one, what you just said, their ability to make adjustments and sort of read and react to what they're getting and change things up. But then the team just plays really hard for him too. Which is also a pretty good indicator that you're doing the right things throughout the week. Are you a betting guy? Like, do you get really like, are you gonna bet on like the length of the national anthem or the coin toss?
You know, I don't. I do bet. I love to bet golf. I'm a golfer. I like to bet golf because that's just what. I'm a golf junkie, so I know a lot. So I do like a lot of, you know, DraftKings lineup, and I'll do, you know, I bet on people every week to win the event, and then I will bet on more people after the cut's made, you know, just, you know, getting a guy at plus 2,500 or whatever and throw $20 on him, nothing crazy. Just because I know golf and I know courses and I'm just that kind of guy now. But I don't bet a ton of football. I'll do it every now and then, but I just tend to lose a lot more on football than I do on golf. So I just don't know much about football. I just don't, especially NFL football. It's just hard. It's so hard. You know, I'm not that guy. Do you see the guy that hit that parlay of he predicted both AFC and NFC championship games correctly to the T, and it was a $20 bet and he won like 580,000.
Yeah.
Predictable scores perfectly. So
some of those are insane. Like yeah. there was a college football one earlier in the season where there was a guy that did a 10-team parlay and he bet the under on every single game, and it was like a $10 bet and he hit like hundreds of thousands of dollars. I don't remember the exact number, but like the people that do that are insane.
Well, it's fun to do. It's only $10. Like, why not? But like, if you hit it, it's kind of like playing Keno at a bar, right? It's like, oh, $10 here, you know. Might be able to, Keno is like, well, the worst odds in gambling, but it's fun to do. Kind of gives you some entertainment throughout the weekend. Those parlays are fun. But yeah, I just don't, you know, I bet the AFC and NFC championship games, and I had both the Bengals and the 49ers covering, but I had the overs in both games, but the unders freaking hit on both games. So, you know, it's, you know, I tend to do better in golf for some reason, just because I pay attention more to, to what's going on currently. And I'll, but let's be honest, I'll probably still bet a little bit on the Super Bowl. I still like the Bengals, you know, getting 4 points. I think I like their chances on Sunday.
Okay, that was going to be my next question. Do you think they win this game?
I do. I don't think the home crowd is a huge factor. I think, I mean, hell, there was more 49ers fans at the game 2 weeks ago than there was Rams fans. I mean, yeah. The Rams had to use a silent count in their home stadium. I mean, that's unheard of. And the Super Bowl is a very corporate crowd. I mean, last I saw, like, the cheapest ticket to get in there was like $4,500. So, like, and that's, you know, not a very good seat. So who knows how many Rams fans will be there. I think Cincinnati will travel fairly well. The only thing, you know, it does concern me, Aaron Donald and Von Miller, but, you know, they've gone against two really good defensive lines the last couple weeks or last, you know, two games, and they've slowed them down. So I just think they're kind of on a roll right now, and they just find ways to win. And I think Joe Burrow's got something to him. You know, Matt Stafford, you know, this is his first Super Bowl, but I don't think this scene is too big for Joe Burrow. I just feel like he's got that, we said it, swagger and just comfort, you know, the comfort to take care of business. So I like their ability to get the job done. I think it's gonna be a close game. I really do. I don't know if it's going to be a shootout by any means. You know, if I now, again, don't take with my, you know, my feel, but I would bet, you know, Cincinnati and take the unders. I think that's like 48 right now. I just see it being kind of a slower. I think if the Bengals have a chance, they got to slow it down a little bit to be honest. That's the way I kind of see it.
Yeah. I don't see the over under in front of me, but I think Rams are 4.5 right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it should be fun. I am, you know, my father-in-law, he's kind of like you in that, he bets a lot of golf, but he also, you know, bets on just about anything. So earlier in the college football season, him and I were doing it together, and I found that, like, man, I was thinking way too much about these things, and I was just losing money, so I stopped. But when we get to the Super Bowl and you see some of these prop bets, some of these are exciting, man. Like, how many 2022 Super Bowl commercials will feature a dog? That's a bet that you can make. What color will Snoop Dogg's shoes be during the halftime show? That's a bet you can make. Blue is the favorite.
What was Snoop Dogg, though? Is like, I feel like that's like a Crip and Blood thing, right? Was he a certain side? I can't remember. He was a Crip, or he was a Crip, wasn't he? So, like, and then he had to wear blue shoes, you know what you think?
Yeah, maybe.
to go there, I guess. I feel like back in the old Snoop Dogg, like, when he first came out, like, I feel like, you know, I feel like he was a, I can't remember. I mean, that's a Seawalk, right? Like, that's the Crip thing. So that's going back to, like, my middle school or, like, elementary school days, and, like, you know, like, Nothing But a G Thing came out with, like, him and Dre, you know,
yeah,
back in the day.
There's another Snoop one, whether he will smoke on stage at the halftime show. You can bet yes or no.
Well, I feel like that'd be definitely a yes.
Yeah. Will any part of Eminem's performance be censored? Yes or no? I feel like that's a definite yes. Mm-hmm. I had his, I think it was Recovery. Recovery album when I was growing up, and like, because I was growing up, my parents wouldn't let me have the explicit version. I had to have the clean version, and like every other song or every other word was like was censored out. So are you excited about this halftime show?
It's good. I mean, yeah, it's Snoop, Eminem, was it Mary J
and Dre, and then Kendrick Lamar. It's definitely geared towards some of the older folks, not necessarily like people younger than me.
Yeah, I like Kendrick. I know Kendrick, you know, I'm 38, but I definitely love my hip hop, my, you know, and R&B. So I know Kendrick, and he has a lot of good stuff, and he's an LA guy. You know, Dre and obviously Snoop, and then Eminem, you know, he's a Detroit guy, mm-hmm. but you know, he has a connection to Dre. Then obviously Mary J. I mean, she's one of the greatest like R&B singers we've ever had. So mm-hmm. it's gonna be good, you know. And it's nice that, you know, I think the Super Bowl is a 20-minute halftime show instead of, you know, the normal 12 minutes. So it'll be good. I think it'll be a great show.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited about it. Another thing that you can bet. People are betting on whether the price of Bitcoin will rise during the Super Bowl because of the amount of Bitcoin and crypto commercials that we're going to have during the game.
Well, I don't have Bitcoin. I have some other crypto. So I'd sure as hope that, you know, some of the market will head up on the crypto, because I'm sure, yeah, crypto.com or whatever will have a bunch of their commercials in there. So yeah, it'd be great. You know, I could, you know, some people get into the market on that and get, you know, the basis to go up a little bit. That'd be nice.
I don't understand any of that stuff. I saw a bunch of it on social media, like last summer and last fall. I think people are talking about like Dogecoin, which I don't even know if it's crypto or not. Maybe it's like fake crypto. Yeah. I don't know.
No, it's crypto.
I don't understand any of it.
Yeah, we don't have enough time to explain it. You know, I don't know enough about it, but I do know, what I do know is it's kind of the way of the future of, I think, how, you know, the markets are going to work and how, you know, currency is going to work and stuff like that. So, you know, I don't have like a huge footprint in it, but it's something it's enough to get my attention. And, you know, and you got to be kind of long in it. You know, you can't really look for a short, you know, a quick deal on it. You kind of have to hold it for the long haul. And it's very volatile. That's the biggest of people too. It fluctuates a ton. So, you know, I'm not trying to give out financial advice by any means here, but you know, I got to put a disclaimer on that.
Getting a crypto literacy course.
Yeah, but no, you got to be long. And it's not like something you buy and you hold it for like a week and you're hoping to make a bunch of money on it. And that's not the case. You know, you're gonna want it for a few years. So, and then you got to enjoy the ups and downs of it, and then get out of it when it really gets up a lot. So.
The only thing that I know with certainty about like crypto, Bitcoin, things like that, is that when I was in college, my senior year, my roommate he was a computer engineering major, big mm-hmm. into building his own computers. And so he had one build, and then when he upgraded a bunch of specs and built something new, he used the old build, and our energy bill skyrocketed 1 month, and I had no idea why. And he used the old build. He had it running 24/7 in his room with like five different tower fans all pointed at the CPU, at the build. And he was just mining crypto 24/7, mining Bitcoin. And I want to say he like gave up on it, because this was like a long time ago, like well before it was anything absurd like what it is now. I want to say he like gave up on it, but I feel like he had something that like, if he would have held on to it, he would have pretty good money right now. That's about the only thing I know though, so I guess maybe I should have like hijacked his computer.
I mean, you hear the stories about, you know, people like, oh, I had, you know, 50 Bitcoin back in 2008 or whatever it was. And it's like, or 2010, I don't know when it officially was available, but it's like, I didn't know what the heck it was. It was worth like a buck. I bought Papa John's pizza with it.
Yep.
You know, and it's like, now, you know, if you obviously had 50 Bitcoin, you know, it's, I don't know what it's at, 40,000 a share, give or take around there. So yep. It's like, well, you would have been a millionaire. Yep. So, you know, it's interesting. It's very, very interesting, but it's, you know, the crypto, you know, being in the stock market, just, you know, it's like gambling. You know, you're hoping you can put your money in and make something on it. But, you know, but I think it's investing is you have better odds in gambling. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Well, in lieu of making any money off of Bitcoin, since I don't understand any of it, I will make all of my money using this prop sheet that I found for the Super Bowl and bet on the color of the Gatorade that'll be dumped, on who will win, on how many dogs there will be featured in commercials at the Super Bowl. And I'm going to take your advice, and I'm going to bet on the Bengals, and we will see what happens. And if that doesn't pay out, then you'll be getting a bill from me, Jay, just so you know.
Okay, that's fine. You can invoice it to me. That's okay.
I that's all I got for you, man. I don't want to take up any more of your time. Right. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it, and it's good to catch up with you again.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Thanks for having me on. And it's exciting to see, you know, a guy that I shared a townhouse with, that's he's coaching, you know, a teammate of mine coaching in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And it's I've done a good job of leaving him alone. I've just been speaking with his wife, you know, the last month or so. So I'm just going to let that be, let him do his thing. And then maybe, who knows, maybe I'll give him a week or so and I'll hit him up and then maybe go see him this summer in Cincinnati. He has some downtime, but it's been fun. And thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man, that's super cool. I can't think of a bigger endorsement of Zach Taylor as a person than what you said, that you feel like you've talked to him more since he's been a head coach in the National Football League than when he was an assistant. That's just incredible to me. So thank you. All of this was awesome. Appreciate it. I said this like a month and a half ago when I did my last podcast that I will be back next week. And then that was not the case. I'll say it again now. I will be back next week. I can promise that. Hopefully we'll have Jay on again in the near future and not have such a long time gap between when we have him on the podcast. Subscribe to HailVarsity.com, read Hail Varsity, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
Huda Media Production.